Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Shadows at the Door, the podcast. I'm your host, Mark Nixon, and together with David Ault, we're proud to present productions of ghost stories both old and new alike. We are extremely excited to bring you today's episode. Yes, at long last, we bring you an adaptation of one of the pleasing terrors from the master himself, M.R. James. Regular listeners will know that James is a huge influence on not only the prose, but the entire ethos of Shadows at the Door. Therefore, it is an honor to present an adaptation of one of his finest stories for you. This particular story has seldom appeared in audio drama format before, no doubt owing to the challenging nature of adapting it for this medium. Do join us after the story to discuss the works of M.R. James and learn behind-the-scenes info of the production. Speaking of the production, we've been receiving a great number of queries concerning a second season of Shadows at the Door, the podcast. As such, we released a brief update and call to action just a few days ago. Please seek out this update and grant it your brief attention. But for now, the matter at hand. Let's join our protagonist as he checks into his hotel and enjoy this story named Number 13. So, gather around the fire, pour yourself some tea, and we'll begin.
So, allow me to recap, Mr. Anderson. While you stay with us at the Golden Lion Inn, you require a room of sufficient size to serve as both bedroom and study. Yes. But you don't want the best room on the top floor. No, I can't be having with all these stairs after a hard day's work at the National Archives. Well, the rooms on the second floor won't serve your purpose, which means one of the rooms on this floor will be your best option. Now, I strongly recommend room 17. Lovely, isn't it? Oh no, these windows only look on the blank walls of the next house. Then, Mr. Anderson, your best options will be rooms 12 or 14. Both look onto the street, only a partial view of the next building. The bright evening light and pretty view will more than compensate for any extra noise you may experience. In fact, I might suggest room 12 here in particular. There are three large windows, so you'll benefit from plenty of light while you work the evening hours away. Oh, yes. Oh, lovely view. Such an unusually long room, too. Yes, room 12 it is. Thank you kindly. My pleasure, Mr. Anderson. Do make yourself at home, and please join us shortly for supper. I look forward to it. Wait, pardon me. So, this is room 12. Yes, sir. And the next is room 14. Yes, sir. So there is no room 13. No. Few hotels in this area will have a room 13. Oh, yes. Hard to let a 13 to the superstitious kind, is it? Yes, I suppose I would give up trying altogether as well, if that were the case. Something like that, yes. Good evening, Mr. Anderson. Yes, good evening. Whew. Right then, time to unpack. I do hope I didn't leave it on the train. Mr. Anderson. Can I help you at all? Oh, good evening. No, I'm quite all right, thank you. If I am to sleep this evening, I must read a few pages of my book. It's a bit of a necessity these days. I was just looking for it in my room when I realized I must have left it in my coat pocket down here, and... Here it is. I trust you are otherwise unpacked and settled, Mr. Anderson? Oh, yes, thank you. And did you enjoy your supper? Yes, quite delicious, thank you. I look forward to many more during my stay. Now, if you'll excuse me, I will... of course. Good night, sir. Yes, good night. Tiresome individual. Oh, how strange. Hold on a moment, there's someone inside. Oh, wait. Of course, this isn't my room. Actually, was my room on the left? I could have sworn it was this door. Number 13. So there is a 13th room. Well, I must have missed it. Here is my room after all. I really have been travelling for too long today. I can't believe I missed an entire room. Come to think of it, this room is not as large as I remember. How the dim light changes things. Perhaps I should have chosen number 13 for myself. For now, though... For now... Sleep. Evidently, I am in need of it.
Was your first day in our archives, Mr. Anderson? Successful, I hope?
Oh, quite so, quite so. Thank you again for making everything so readily available to me.
Think nothing of it. It is my duty after all.
Even so, I dare say you saved me hours of work. The documents I've seen have been far more numerous and interesting than I'd anticipated. In fact, I found a great deal of correspondence regarding Bishop Jürgen Fries. There were many amusing and intimate details of his private life and character. In fact, there was much talk of a house owned by the bishop, but not inhabited by him in the town. The tenant was apparently somewhat of a scandal, a disgrace, in fact, to the city, practicing secret and wicked arts. They say he had even sold his soul. It was quite the scandal, it seems, for such a viper to be patronized and harbored by the bishop.
I must admit I am not a specialist in the Reformation period, but I must say this is all very amusing.
Oh, yes. And our bishop friend met his reproaches boldly. He protested his own abhorrence of all such things and demanded his antagonists bring the matter before the proper court. That is, of course, the spiritual court. But that's as far as I read for today. Thankfully, we do things rather differently now, eh? We are no longer bound by the decisions of bishops.
Well, I look forward to your eventual publication. This house of the Bishop Huys, I wonder where it could have stood. I've studied carefully the topography of the area, but it is most unlucky that the piece which had the full list of town property is missing. Never mind, perhaps I shall someday succeed to find it. I shall leave you here, and no doubt I will see you tomorrow.
Yes, indeed, sir. I have time for a stroll before they serve supper at my hotel. Until tomorrow. Ah, yes, room 13. There you are. It is you, isn't it? Oh, yes. 13, clear as day. Strange how nobody at the supper table hailed from number 13, and yet... yeah, there is most certainly someone within. I wonder... Now, this room is most definitely smaller than it initially appeared. Perhaps I shall ask for a bigger room after all. And where is my luggage exactly? Surely nobody has stolen it. Careless servants, no doubt. I suppose they'll be asleep themselves now. I'll just have to inquire in the morning. I still get a charming view of a brick wall. Although I can make out the shadows upon it casting from all the rooms. Yes, there's the gentleman in room 11 on the left. I could spot the silhouette of that magnificent beard from a mile away. And, yes, here's the shadow of our mysterious guest in number 13. Oh, he's staring out of his window too. Such a slender figure. Could it be a she? Whoever it is, they seem to be in possession of a red lampshade. I wonder if I could get a look at them. No. Oh dear, I hope they didn't catch me trying to peek. Perhaps I should retire to bed too.
Room service. Room service.
Yes. Yeah. Come in, please.
Good morning, Mr. Anderson. I've brought you some...
Yes, I was hoping to catch you. You must not move my luggage, you understand? Where is it?
Begging your pardon, Mr. Anderson, but it's right there.
What? Where?
There, sir, by the third window.
No.
Wait. Yes, you're right. There it is. Exactly where I left it. When I unpacked.
Well, this is a rude shock. How embarrassing. I have no idea how I missed that last night. Please accept my apology.
Please don't trouble yourself, Mr. Anderson. Are you spending the day at the archives again, sir? I only ask so as to ensure your room is well made before your return.
Yes, I'm rather late getting up as it is, actually. Oh. But not as late as number 13, it seems.
Sir?
You left the door open. I can see the boots outside of number 13's room. So it is a man staying there.
Those boots belong to the gentleman in number 14, sir.
No, they can't be his. See, look here. Room 11, room 12. Wait, room 14? Well, that can't be. There is no room 13.
Of course not. We don't keep a 13th room. Mr. Anderson, there is a half-finished cigarette here on the second windowsill. Would you like it keeping, or were you finished with it?
Throw it away. But you must be mistaken. I was smoking at the third window on the far right of the room.
I don't mean to disagree, but this is definitely the middle window. See, sir? Are you sleeping well? Are you well in yourself?
So many stupid mistakes I've made in 12 hours. Perhaps I'm not as well rested as I thought. Really, I'm so sorry for worrying you.
Oh, you haven't at all, sir.
It's a pleasure to see your appetite return, Mr. Anderson. This morning you seemed a little off, if you don't mind my saying so.
Ah, yes, I think the travelling set me back more than I anticipated.
So, have you enjoyed more success at the archives, Mr. Anderson?
Quite so, yes, although I was examining some episcopal correspondence, but the records are incomplete. It turns out my bishop, one Jürgen Fries, died quite suddenly in the midst of a scandal regarding an unsavoury tenant of his. But I admit, I have found it hard to concentrate today, and in fact, I was meaning to ask you something.
Oh?
When I checked in, you remarked that most hotels in this area do not keep a room 13. What, if I may ask, is the exact reason?
To think you should still be preoccupied with a thing like that, sir. I thought about it once or twice myself, to tell the truth. An educated man, I've said, has no business with these superstitious notions. My old schoolmaster set his face against anything of that kind. He's been dead for some time now, actually. A fine, upstanding man he was. In fact, I remember us boys one snowy day and we...
Then you don't think there is any particular objection to having a number 13?
Well, you understand, I was brought up in the business by my poor old father. He kept a hotel in London first, then when I was born he moved here, back to his hometown. He lived here until he died, actually, and I...
So, when you came here, was there a number 13?
No. I was going to tell you about that. You see, in a place like this, the guests are what we provide for in general. And puts them in number 13? They'd as soon as step in the street. As far as I'm concerned, it wouldn't make a penny difference what room I stayed in, but there are plenty of stories among them of men that have slept in a number 13 and never been the same again, or lost their best customers, or one thing and another.
Then what do you use your number 13 for?
My number 13? Why, we've already discussed that, Mr. Anderson. There's no such room in my house. Why, if there was, then it would be the room next to yours.
Well, yes, only, that is, I fancied last night that I had seen a door numbered 13 in that passage, and really, I am almost certain I've been right, for I saw it the night before as well.
Mr. Anderson, I'm sorry, but there is no number 13.
Very well. Here's an idea. Join me for a cigarette later this evening. Put my confused mind at rest, eh?
Oh, it shall be my pleasure. What time shall we make it?
Let us say 10. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have some letters to write before then. And I shall not even look up as I walk to my room, not until I have another set of eyes.
Now, why is it that my room always seems smaller at night?
Well, there's that fellow next door again. And it seems the man is in the habit of giving vent to his animal spirits when alone. He seems to be dancing. Actually, yes, he is. There's his shadow on the wall outside. Surprisingly agile for such a gaunt fellow. Come in. Ah, my dear fellow, good evening. I say, are you quite all right? Is there something wrong with the room? Yes, I'm all right, thanks. Can I offer you a cigarette? Oh, that is dreadful. I don't understand it. I've heard this once before, but I made sure it was a cat. No, it's the man in number 14. Is he mad? He must be. Ah, what a shame. Such a good customer, too, and so successful in his business, and by what I hear, with a young family to look after, too.
Well, he doesn't sound like the man you describe.
I beg your pardon, sir, but I should be much obliged if you would kindly desist. Drink if you must, but please. What in the name of heaven? Who is singing? Where are they singing? Am I going out of my mind?
Perhaps, my good man, it is coming from your room. Is there a cat stuck in the chimney?
Oh, impossible, impossible. There is no chimney. I came in here because I was convinced the noise was coming from your room. It was certainly in the room next to mine.
Was there a door between yours and mine?
No.
At least not this morning. And what about now?
I'm not sure.
Well, come on, man, you're our landlord. What does this mean?
Good heavens. How should I know? I know no more than you, gentlemen, and I pray I may never hear such a noise again. So do I.
We must do something. The three of us, shall we go and investigate in the next room?
But that's room 14. He just came from there. I'm not so sure. I think this gentleman is right. We must go and see with our own eyes. Grab something, in case we need to defend ourselves.
Quite right.
Let me see.
All I have is this walking stick. Oh, and here's my umbrella.
You must be joking.
Would you rather be unarmed? Give it here.
All right, gentlemen. Onwards.
It's so quiet now. Look, light from under the door.
Yes, I've noticed a red light emitting from this room before.
It's locked. Sir, can you go and fetch the strongest of your servants?
Right away.
Let us hope he brings somebody back fit for the task.
It is number 13.
Yes, there is your door, and there is mine.
You know, my room seemingly has three windows in the daytime and two at night.
So has mine.
Wait. Good God, man, look out! Oh, my word!
Jesus, what is it, man? What happened?
An arm almost grabbed you.
Good Lord. I heard the door open and I didn't turn in time.
It was horrible. It was slender and inhuman.
How ghastly.
Oh, good. Our landlord returns with assistance.
Well, what is it?
The thing in number 13, it tried to grab me. Oh, my word. No, this is all wrong. This is terrible. I don't know if I can face such a thing after all. But if we do not face it, then the hotel is ruined.
Now, hang on just a minute. I was told people in these parts were made of sterner stuff than this. Whatever it is in there, well, we are now 4-1.
Yes, you're right.
Dear landlord, you stay out here with the light and your servant and I will break in the door. Our lawyer friend here will stand at the ready. Now, I see you've brought a crowbar, young man. I suggest you use it.
Yes, sir.
Now, on the count of three, I want you to give this door all you've got. Are you ready?
I am, sir.
Good. 1, 2, 3. What? The door.
It's gone.
I don't understand. It's just the plaster wall now. And here is where your blow struck. It would appear, gentlemen, that number 13 has vanished.
It would appear so. Perhaps. Would you gentlemen like another room for tonight? One with 2 beds?
I'm inclined to agree. Let me just fetch my things. Well, look at that. 3 windows now.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Thank you for joining us. That was number 13 by M.R. James, Montague Rhodes James. I'm Mark Nixon, and as always, I am joined by David Ault.
Indeed you are. Hello there, Mark. How are you doing?
Very well, particularly for today's episode. How are you doing, David?
Well, I think my throat has taken a little bit of a beating from all of that, I have to say. Because there have been times where I've been amused by the notes that writers give. There have been sometimes I have cursed the notes that writers give. And some of the stage directions in this particular one were, and if ever, Mark, you want to release the blooper reel of this one, I'm sure our listeners would love it. But yeah, 2 minutes of singing.
Two to three minutes of singing, yes. You know, I mean, when you edit enough of David's recordings, and you just want to kind of like pull the strings a little bit and just, like, you know, just make him your bitch for a little while. Sorry, David. But
one of my very, very good friends who writes Doctor Who, or has written Doctor Who stuff with me playing the Doctor over at Darker Projects. And it's something that has stalled for quite a while in the way that things do in development hell. He always used to say he gets to make me say the stupidest things. So, yes, writers have that amazing ability to be able to, as you say, puppet their voice actors.
It comes from all the frustration of not having a charming voice that we can use for voice acting. I mean, let's face it, a lot of my writing is passive aggressive. I'm, you know, angry at everyone in school. And
yeah. So if there is something that you want Mark Nixon to get me to say, then do write in, tweet us at Shadows at Door Podcast or whatever it is.
at Shadow. So the at symbol, Shadows at Door.
Shadows at Door. All right, there's Shadows at Door.
I have threatened David with releasing a sex tape because, not my own sex tape, that would be horrific, but I have like this footage of like David having to do heavy breathing and of groaning and stuff, and you could just edit it all together.
Well, it's true. One of the other stage directions that I always go back to as a fond memory was the 30 seconds of sexy noises ending in climax and then 10 seconds of afterwards. And yeah, that was great.
Good show.
And this, of course, this discussion about humour brings us very nicely onto M.R. James and number 13.
Yeah, I was just telling David before we recorded started recording that I am very excited because what has become a staple of this podcast is introduction, spooky story, talk about Doctor Who and M.R. James, and a little bit of what we're meant to talk about. We've already talked about Doctor Who. David got that in early. So, yes, we finally get to discuss Montague Rhodes James, or Monty, as his familiars will affectionately call him.
I think in the background I can see some torches from the M.R. James Appreciation Society.
There actually is an M.R. James Appreciation Society.
I know there is.
Yes, I'm in it.
I was going to say, aren't you a card-carrying member?
We don't have cards, because in the story, Casting the Runes of M.R. James, if you were to be handed a card, you would then be cursed.
Ah, right. And I'm sure that you don't whistle for anything.
I do. I do. Nothing comes. So. Yes. I actually have a tattoo of that ghost. That's how much of a fan I am.
Ah.
But yes, M.R. James, who, as David and I discussed in episode one, is a huge influence of mine, so we won't go on about that too much. But There are many classic M.I. James stories. You know, some have been adapted into audio drama before. There is one coming up from Biffle Gab very soon. Of Casting the Runes, the one with the you hand the slip, the runes, and you get cursed. I'm very much looking forward to hearing that. But I haven't heard one of number 13 before. And it was a complete bugger to do an adaptation of. And I'm, as David has already alluded, with anger in his eyes, it was a bugger for David to record as well. But you know what, David? I'm going to say it. I'm going to be confident. I think this was good. I think this was a good job. Wow, that didn't feel nice. So much of my career is me just being hard on myself. And the minute you're kind to yourself, you're like, no, that didn't come out right.
Don't worry, you can come away from all of the negativity, step into the positive. It may seem a little bit strange at first, but you know, you can come over to us. Come on, say it again, Mark.
I enjoyed that production. There we go.
It was really good. It was an enjoyable script to do. Yes, it was, as you say, a bugger, but it was still enjoyable.
The story is actually set in Holland, I believe. I chose to remove all of that because David, as we all know by now, is extremely good at multiple accents. But I thought, how many...
I'm sorry?
Well, that was deeply unpleasant. Oh, God. I apologize for those of you wearing headphones. But Dave is very good at different accents, but then is he very good at doing different accents in a foreign country? But we did choose to give some of the characters who were local in the story, vaguely German. Hang on, that was a bit insulting, wasn't it? How would you describe vaguely German? Extremely German, you know, very good German.
I just went with stock German.
Stock German.
The wonderful book, The Coarse Art of Acting, where it describes that you should have stock characters. And when given a role, you say, ah, yes, that's stock character number 3. Old man. Right, okay, cool. I can do that.
Yes, yes. But yes, number 13. Absolutely terrific M.R. James ghost story. It is, that's the thing. A lot of his ghost stories are called ghost stories, but there isn't really a ghost in this one.
No.
When I was writing the script, I didn't know what to refer to the creature in room 13. I simply chose to call it the occupant. It could have been a demon, a ghost, a goblin. We could name it after the person in the story who it is very much alluded to be. But instead, we went for the occupant. So it's just another... This is a ghost story podcast, but how many actual ghosts have there been?
I don't know what has been released up until now, so I can't tell you.
Yeah, it was rhetorical, David. But yes, but that's very much the same with M.R. James. There are not many, you know, actual ghosts. So, but M.R. James, he is often credited as being the father of the modern ghost story, where it stopped being overtly gothic and it stepped away from castles and large chested women with candelabras, and it became more about your stuffy, sexually repressed academics, which is really just my cup of tea. And M.R. James, of course, he was actually an academic. He was dean of King's College in Cambridge. So he would write these stories for his friends, and he would read them aloud in the Chit Chat Society on Christmas Eve, where they would have a sherry at Wrestle, apparently. and then he would read them a ghost story. And I think he was quite tickled with his own, you know, performances. And he often puts very overt working class characters in his stories. So we go, all right, lads, it's me, it's M.R. James. I'm not posh anymore, am I? Okay, that was terrible. Wow. This is why I don't act on the podcast, guys.
I was wondering where you'd gone and who was...
Ray Winston appeared.
It's Grant from EastEnders. Run!
But yeah, so there's... And we put a little bit into this. You know David's... the room service servant who comes was quite camp, which I enjoyed. That was on purpose, wasn't it, David? Right?
David, that was on purpose, right? Right?
I'm sorry, David can't be here right now. If you'd like to leave a message...
there's a lot of jokes in the ghost stories as well. I mean, they can... If you read an Emma James ghost story by candlelight in the dark, it can be an absolutely terrifying experience. It can be absolutely wonderful. That's why they're called pleasing terrors. But then he also can't help himself put the jokes in. I absolutely love the bit where they decide to arm themselves before they go and basically kick the shit out of this guy in room 13. And then it's like, I have an umbrella. Yes. And I just have this image of like this just landlord just with an umbrella, like looking like Sylvester McCoy at the back. One line I did cut out, though, is when they all decide that they're not going to confront it, Anderson turns around and goes, well, this isn't the Dutch courage that I've heard of. Good Lord, what if it was a German in there? I was like, whoa, I'm not going to unpack that. I'm just going to sidestep it and walk away. Much like how I avoided using Negro as much as possible in the adaptation of The Devil and Tom Walker.
Yes.
But I'm about to break some bad news to David as well, listeners, because for the dinner scene, I asked David to create some conversations to go in the background, and it is David's best work. He's just talking about absolute bullshit, and I edited it, you know, and made it so it was quite subdued in the background, but you couldn't help but tune in on it, even when they were overlapping. And like these characters were having this, you know, this conversation in the background. I can hear someone going, yes, the carrot museum has just opened. And I went, but they only had carrots and it was quite boring. And sadly, I had to remove David's like 5 minutes of just asinine, just, like rubbish. And I've had to replace it with like stock sound effect. I actually managed to get some Germans having dinner there. We have some German.
Probably talking about the carrot museum, but in German.
Yes.
Because there again, this is one of those instances where I was given a direction by the writer to say, can you come up with 5 minutes of conversation for having in the background? It can be anything like the weather or a museum. And so I had two conversations, one about the weather and one about a museum. And I went back to my improvisation and just thought, well, I'm going to turn my brain off and just come up with the first thing that comes to mind. And so for the museum, it was carrots. And then I just rolled with that. And I suppose you're not ever going to get to the parsnip exhibition then that's going to be there, Mark.
It was very much like walking into a New York improv comedy group and there was just a guy from Ripon there. And his partners were just not coming up with anything decent. It was really good. And, you know, perhaps we can serve it up as some kind of inevitable blooper / David Alt sex tape reel that we can release one day. But it really pained me to take it out, but it just, it was quite distracting to have it. It didn't really work out the way I thought it would. And I'm going to admit it, you know, and for the engineer, the audio engineers who are listening and the editors, I am self-taught. So I have been learning this as it goes along. I am also very aware that I think these stories probably sound better the more that I do. So the last episode of the season, guys, is going to sound fantastic. But the first one, if you're still here, you know, well done. You know, this is your reward. Better production values. But it didn't.
You do deserve a lot of congratulation for the fact that you are self-taught, because having done some fairly simple editing back in the day when I was doing the Jodcast, I started 12 years ago, which is one of those crazy, crazy things, almost 13 years ago. I know what it's like to have to put together even a small bit of script with sound effects, etc. So to do a full half hour, 40 minutes of stuff, you deserve all the props for that.
Thank you. That's very kind, David. I am, of course, now very uncomfortable, physically and emotionally, but I appreciate it. I will remember that. The British, ladies and gentlemen. Yay. David, were you actually familiar with this story before you got your hands on the script then?
I was familiar with it, yes. Yes, because I have read a book of M.R. James ghost stories, and that one, I do remember it from there. But I probably have only read it once and a long time ago. So it was nice to come back to it and have some familiarity with it, but I certainly wasn't at that point a rune-carrying member of the M.R. James Society.
I need to get some business cards done for those guys. I'm pleased. I mean, I remember I was halfway through the script and I thought, literally any other story would have been easier than this one. You know, in particular, Lost Hearts or Canon Albrecht's scrapbook, Casting the Runes, certainly. But Casting the Runes is always the one that gets done. I hope people will forgive me if we've already mentioned this, but the films Night of the Demon, Drag Me to Hell, and It Follows are all, you know, they're all quite clearly influenced by the story Casting the Runes, but because it is such a very good premise as well. Now, if I'm just going, I'm going to make a little recommendation here. If anybody really wants to kind of emulate the experience of being in the Chit Chat Society, if you're in Britain, I would strongly suggest checking out Nunky. It's Robert Lloyd Parry. He has literally memorized a great deal of M.R. James ghost stories, and he reads them. He doesn't introduce himself. He walks onto the stage as M.R. James in somewhat of a costume, and he reads the story from memory, and it's perfectly done. And if you want, that is the closest he's ever going to get to having been in the Chit Chat Society one day. But I very much want to go to Cambridge and go to where these stories were read. Just so that'll be almost a black pilgrimage for me.
Yes.
But I'm quite curious to see how people respond to this one, because, you know, I wonder what audience is listening to us. And M.R. James isn't like, he's quite different to your creepy pasta. And although I'm very much more of the M.R. James ilk, I do like a creepypasta. I'm partial to a slender man, yet I won't really read or watch anything with him in. I just like the imagery. But if people do respond to this one, then and if there's a season two, and I very much hope there is, I do think it would be nice to introduce another M.R. James to the audiences.
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely, yeah.
Seeing as, yeah. Would you have a preference, David? Any particular story?
If I could think of one, then I would. I'm only saying this so that you can come in and say which one you would like. In fact, it's there on the script. Pause for Mark to be able to sound intelligent and knowledgeable.
Who could sound intelligent next to yourself, dude? Wow, that sounded quite bitchy. That's not how it meant to come out. Wow, I was trying to compliment him.
That's okay, Mark. It's fine. It's fine.
Without having done any thinking about it, I think maybe warning to the curious.
I'll say yes.
Yes, David totally knows what I'm talking about. It is. I'm going to start talking about it, then he's going to realize you saw it on TV in the 70s.
I wasn't even alive in the 70s, thank you very much.
What year were you born, David?
I'm a millennial, thank you. I was born at the beginning of the 80s.
And what's your mother's maiden name? Right, no, Warning to the Curious, sorry, is the one where a gentleman digs up a crown that he finds and he is chased
by... Oh, yes, I know that one, yes. Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert, he's chased by a ghost. yes, William Ager. There's a very, very successful and famous adaptation where as he's digging for the crown, the gentleman appears. He's like, "No digging here," although he's not Yorkshire. I just can't. I can do three voices. Ask about my bad Arnold Schwarzenegger impression. Yeah, but anyway, that possibly, without having thought about it, I think that might be an interesting one. Let the people decide, Demon. If people enjoy it, they can tweet myself or David and tell us, please stop, or please be more professional in your discussions, or I stop listening after the story ends because you're both getting on my tits.
I suppose one thing about M.R. James, as we've discussed, is that the stories themselves, the setup is actually quite simple, where you will have an object, haunted or not, or a place, haunted or not, and someone interacts with said object or place, and something appears as a result, and then person tries to get rid of said ghost or gets killed by it.
Exactly right.
They are not very intricate stories from that point of view, but they are full of the atmosphere and the discovery, and that is what makes them rich, rather than twists and turns that you're not expecting.
Mm-hmm.
I think in many ways the fact that you kind of, you know what is going to happen, and you are watching the protagonist hurtle towards this in a nice, gentle, leisurely British way, but hurtle towards the ending, that's where the tension really comes from.
Mm. The whole reading experience is don't go in there.
Yeah, exactly. Or don't pick up the crown. Don't whistle. Don't look at the wood cutting. All of this, it's you know that there's something bad. You know it's coming for them, and still they do it.
Hmm. You know, James actually wrote an essay on the rules of ghost stories, and he basically says what you just said, David, although I'm paraphrasing. He says, let the malevolent spirit appear unobtrusively to our protagonist. Let the protagonist be happy in his surroundings and unaware of the impending threat. That is a rule that I have used in the majority of my stories. Certainly, if anyone heard my story, Carve and Colour, on the No Sleep podcast, that was very much a modern Jamesian story, where I did deviate from the rules a little bit. But I think as a writer, you do find your own voice as time goes by. Yeah, and I do delight in that with M.R. James. And then, of course, he created such interesting threats as well.
Mm.
The weird goblin demon slender figure in room 13, you know. I mean, you wonder how much harm would it have done? Had they have gotten there, would they have beaten the shit out of it? And, you know, you know, but it's the threat. And again, and we've talked about this before, you know, the more you see of the shark in Jaws, the less threatening it becomes. And and that really is brilliant. But certainly a lot of people agree with us. A lot of writers agree with us. James has had so many, he's inspired so many in his career. I actually, on a lovely M.R. James anthology that I own, there's a quote from Neil Gaiman on the back. And I actually tweeted Neil Gaiman and said, Neil, what's your favourite M.R. James ghost story? And he said it was Lost Hearts, which of course would be, because it's the one about dead children. And that's his cup of tea. But no, certainly James's legacy has been absolutely terrific. I think even Stephen King certainly mentions him from time to time in his work. Ramsey Campbell. Basically every writer that I know socially usually credits James as one as well. So I really do hope everybody enjoyed number 13. I hope everybody enjoyed The Torment of David Ault. Now that's a story. The Torment of David Ault.
You need to write a story about a writer writing for a voice actor.
Yes. I mean, it's a bit... It's basically masturbation, but I, you know, like, when did that ever stop?
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, exactly. No shame, guys. Well,
do it too much and you'll go blind.
You're not a parent, are you, David?
No, I'm not.
No, that's probably a reason for that. Yes, but no. I do, like I said, I do hope everybody enjoyed that, and then let us know if you want to hear more from M.R. James. I mean, he's dead, but we'll do our best to bring his stories to life for you from beyond the grave. You know, we almost did Edgar Allan Poe, but I thought he was a little bit too heavy-handed. Old Edgar.
The Telltale Heart has certainly been done. Well, still its heart beats underneath the floorboards, but it's dead.
Yeah,
it's been done to death.
It's the obvious choice, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, yep. And a cask of Amontillado has been done a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, Edgar Allan Poe. I like Poe.
Hmm.
I've certainly heard more of Poe than most other ghostwriters.
And then, of course, we have you've got your other pillars of literary horror, such as Sheridan Le Fanu, H.P. Lovecraft, looks to his bookshelf. No, that's I'm happy with those two examples. Certainly for, you know, for the short story format as well. And we're not exactly, you know, The Woman in Black, of course, is an absolutely terrific ghost story, but I can't ask David to do an entire novel. Well, actually, yes, I could. I'm sure David has many works in Audible, so
it's true.
You're perfectly capable, aren't you, David? So, right. Anyway, so yes, do let us know what you thought and if you would like to hear more from M.R. James.
One of the things I liked about this story was the fact that the room actually grew into rooms 12 and 14.
Yes,
because usually it would take place in the wall, if you like, that there would be a door and it would go into a room, but the room wouldn't encroach on the ones either side.
Like a pocket dimension.
Yes. And so I thought that was quite a nice... what's the word I want? It's quite a nice device, really. And something quite different from other works that I've read before.
I do think that is the benefit of the time that it was written, which would have been the early 20th century, I believe. Because, you know, we have so many sci-fi concepts now.
Mm.
There's a show called Doctor Who that you and I are somewhat familiar with. But
I have heard of it, yes.
Yes, yes. But yeah, I think there wasn't so many concepts like that. And I do love, I mean, if you read the text, and I very much recommend that you do, because we did trim a lot, you know, it is regularly described that the windows, there's two at night, three in the morning. And I did put that into the dialogue, and it did become a little bit clunky. It's like, oh, your cigarette's on the second window. You know, people don't talk like that, but we also accept that in audio drama, we do need to have that a little bit in there as well. So, I agree entirely with that, David. I just, you know, the drunk history fan of me really wants to know what would happen if they'd got into the room. Would it be like watching Frodo and Sam fight Gollum? You know, or would it throw a smoke bomb on the floor and then just be gone?
And they'd be left in their own rooms or something.
No, they'd be stuck in that room, and then they're scratching at the door to get out, shadows at the door, if you will, and then somebody else checks into room 12 and they can hear the scratching and moaning from that room. Dun dun dun.
So that's number 13A. Or number 13, part two.
Mark Nixon's writing process, ladies and gentlemen. You've just seen how completely shit it is.
Nay, sir, nay.
If my mum's listening, I'm sorry for swearing so much. She's not listening. So, yes, join us next week for our next Pleasing Terror. And thank you so much once again for joining us in this one. I'm Mark Nixon.
And I'm David Alt. Good night.
Good night. Or good morning, depending when you're listening to this.
Smooth. You've been listening to a Shadows at the Door production. Story by M.R. James. Adapted by Mark Nixon. Performances by David Alt. Music by Nico Vertese. Editing by Mark Nixon. Copyright held by Shadows at the Door Publishing. If you enjoyed this production, please consider leaving a review wherever you listen to podcasts. And we'll see you very soon.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out the Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.